It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 Golf Course and the Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazingo's golf offerings and tee times is available at mazingolake.com. And now, the 10th President of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And please know there's so much to celebrate. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners KXCV, KRNW are excited about the start of the school year across our region. Students learning and thinking, they indeed are our future. I'm pleased to welcome you to the September edition of our show. We'll provide two segments this month, as we usually do. In segment one, we feature Governor Michael Parson. Governor Parson is the 57th governor of the state of Missouri. In segment two, we feature Andy Peterson, athletic director at Northwest, and Greg Hansen, assistant vice president of student affairs and campus recreation at Northwest as well. They'll be discussing the upcoming opening of the Hughes Fieldhouse. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Governor Parson. Michael L. Parson was sworn in as Missouri's 57th governor on June 1st, 2018, by Missouri Supreme Court Judge Mary R. Russell. He came into the role of governor with a longtime commitment to serving others with over 30 years of experience in public service. Governor Parson previously served as the 47th Lieutenant Governor of the state of Missouri. He was elected Lieutenant Governor on November 8, 2016, after claiming victory in 110 of Missouri's 114 counties and receiving the most votes of any Lieutenant Governor in Missouri history. Governor Parson served the people of the 28th Senatorial District in the Missouri Senate from 2011 through 2017. He served in the Missouri House of Representatives from 2005 through 2011. Governor Parson also served as the sheriff of Polk County from 1993 through 2005. He served 6 years in the U.S. Army as well. Governor Parson lives in Bolivar with his wife, Teresa. Together, they have two grown children and five grandchildren. He is a small business owner and is a third-generation farmer who currently owns and operates a cow and calf operation near Bolivar. Governor Parson, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Hey, good to be here. Good to talk to you.
Well, I tell you what, we thank you for joining us today, but we're also thankful for you serving as Northwest Missouri State University's Distinguished Lecture Series featured speaker this past April and for walking around our beautiful campus. Governor Parson, really, really appreciate that visit, and I know that you came away with a deeper appreciation of Northwest Missouri State.
That was a huge honor to go up there and just be a part of that and really get to spend some time with you and some of the other curators up there and people that are on your boards. And just to meet some of the students was, I really did take a different take when I left there and was very impressed.
Well, thank you, sir. And if you can talk about becoming governor and articulating your goals, I know you've been very straightforward and very clear about your goals and policy agenda you wish to accomplish for the citizens of Missouri. So for our listeners, can you talk about your goals and really your policy agenda?
Yeah, one of the things, we've spent a lot of time traveling around the state of Missouri, talking to different people from all parts of the state, from the urban areas to the rural areas, to the northeast, the northwest, and the southwest, and the Boot Hill area. But you know, the thing that keeps coming up constantly is infrastructure and workforce development. And so we're really going to focus on that. Our administration, my administration, is going to take that to heart. And we're really going to focus on that. So that's going to be two of our main priorities. And of course, when you talk about both of those issues, whether it be infrastructure or workforce development, you'll become a big player in that. The universities will, the community colleges, the skilled side of it, the tech side of it is going to be huge. But we really want to focus on that. We want to give everybody a chance, especially these young men and women going through the education system at all levels, to make sure that they got the skills to meet the demands of the workforce.
Governor, I know you held a press conference last month and focused that press conference on infrastructure needs. Can you kind of give our listeners a bird's eye view of your message?
Yeah, I think we've for better terms, kicked this can down the road for way too long until we got some real problems in our state when it comes to infrastructure. And we look at the seventh largest highway system in the United States. We really haven't done anything to increase that funding over the last two decades. Matter of fact, the last time it was done was then Governor Ashcroft, one of the most conservative governors we ever had. And we just got to face the issue that if we really want to move Missouri forward through economic values to us, to bring businesses here, to take care of the businesses that we have, we really got to figure out a solution to our transportation system, all the way from our airports to our highways to our rail, to our ports. And I think you also have to put the internet, broadband, utilities in there. Those are key issues for moving the state forward. And those are the things that, that I'm talking about, that I've talked about. But I think it's important. We're going to have an opportunity in November to make a decision. The people of the state will, and whether they have that vision, whether they think it's the right way to go, and they're going to get to decide it. And I think for all of our job right now, for mine, until that point happens, is that we give everybody the information as much as we can to tell them the true facts of where we're at, and then we let the voters make the decision.
Governor, you talk about infrastructure. You also mentioned workforce development, and of course the Missouri Department of Economic Development and the Missouri Department of Higher Ed are teaming up on a Talent for Tomorrow task force, on which Northwest Missouri State has a seat at the table. We're thankful for that. Further, here it is, mid-September, you just sponsored an economic development summit in Kansas City. Will you please talk about economic development in the state of Missouri and your hopes from the task force?
Yeah, you have a conference like that, and when I left there, I was very optimistic. I'm optimistic for the state of Missouri. I think there's a real opportunity, a huge push for universities, as you represent, and all the universities across the state, to team up with private businesses and really change our focus of how we do things, and to really make workforce development a key issue.
Governor, as we talk about infrastructure and workforce development, you mentioned already that education is part of that. You've been a consistent supporter of education in general, and certainly higher education in particular. Case in point, your leadership in developing a bonding proposal that supported critical deferred maintenance needs back in 2015. That passed, and as we walked around campus back in April, you saw that Northwest, for one, is continuing to reap benefits from your ability to get that bonding passed. In fact, we had 13 different touch points from that deferred maintenance bonding bill, and we're just finishing those projects now. Can you talk about support of higher education and really your administration's views of how you'd like to move higher ed forward?
Yeah, the higher education is going to play a key role into the workforce development package that we're talking about. You can't be out here talking about you want to expand workforce development, you want to get more people qualified to get on the streets to be qualified for these good jobs. And then on the other hand, saying, okay, we're going to cut this and this, and especially when it's part of the role of education to be part of this workforce development. So, that's key that we partner up and we support higher education in this state. And you mentioned the bonding bill. That's probably one of the highlights of my career was being able to do that. But now that I've had the opportunity to travel the state at your university that I got to go to and see how people really spent the money, how well a job they done, how conservative was, and that they took it on priorities, things that were not very popular for the most part, but did the things that needed to be done. And as I've traveled the state, I get to see that firsthand now, how people utilize that money. And for the most part, everybody's did a great job with that.
Governor, we're very, very thankful here at Northwest Missouri State, because in fact, You are right. We did prioritize. We made some tough decisions. We made the money stretch, and we're just so very thankful for your support and the support of so many others. We're also thankful. You've been very articulate about the importance of education in higher ed. So I, for one, just want to applaud you and say thank you, sir. So we look forward to working
thank
together.
You.
Let's move on to drought conditions. We did receive some rain recently in northwest Missouri, but we've been experiencing some extreme drought conditions in northwest and north central Missouri. Can you talk about support for farmers and communities in need of water?
Yeah, you know what? That's always a tough issue. You know, myself, probably, I don't know when the last time we had a real farmer as the governor of the state of Missouri before I come along, but you know, Mother Nature's pretty rough on farms sometimes, and sometimes you don't have much control of it. But I think what we're trying to focus on, what we have all the summer and this fall, is basically trying to see what we have available to help to give these tools they need to kind of get by at this time. You know, drought's just one of those tough issues, and we've had, I know in the past, DNR, Department of Ag, all of our agencies, conservation, have put together a task force to try to see what we can do. From the government side of it to help people that are in those positions. So, and, you know, we're just going to have to see where this thing comes to an end. You know, we know we got some rainfall last month, which is helping things a little bit. So we'll just see where it goes. But it's definitely a concern of mine, and I want to do what I can to help farmers within reason to be able to help them.
Well, thank you, sir. And listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCB Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. I'm your host, John Chasitsky, and we're talking in this segment to Missouri's 57th governor, Governor Michael L. Parson. Governor Parson, Right to Work went down to defeat last month in the polls. Can you please articulate what this means from the governor's seat?
Yeah, you know what? I was pretty open. I was supportive of that. But look, you don't get to win every game you play here, and that was one of those events that the Missourians spoke loud and clear. They're not supportive of that right now. So, for me, it's time to move on. Voters decided that, and I really want to focus on infrastructure and workforce development and education and what the issues at hand are. So, you know, like I said, you know, I'm a firm believer. You know, you try to put your best foot forward. You try to articulate why you believe in things, and but at the end of the day, the voters have got to decide that. And when they do decide, you got to understand they've spoken, and you got to move on.
And moving on, let's talk about your strong support of Amendment 2. And but you've also been articulate about thinking about common sense gun control and why it's so very important. Can you describe the balance between strong support but also common sense gun control?
Yeah, you know what? I'm a firm believer in the Second Amendment. You know, I always have been to my entire career, but I do think you have to have some logic with that. I mean, you just don't there's laws already in the land. Just because you own a firearm doesn't mean you get to do what you want with it and what the purposes are for those firearms. So I think it's always important that you take a good look at those things, and you always have to look at changing times. I mean, you know, what does society want? Where are the focus at in our state? And, you know, and again, I think that's part of being a good elected official, trying to figure out, okay, where are the people of Missouri at on these issues? And always be open, but, you know, at the root of it, to answer your question, you know, I've always been a Second Amendment guy. I believe in the Second Amendment very strongly, but I also realize that there is sometimes problems that need to be addressed for multiple reasons.
And Governor, you were sworn in as Missouri's 57th governor on June 1st, 2018. Are you having fun, sir?
You know what? I'm humbled every day to go to work. You know what? I get to be around some of the best people in the world here in Missouri. I get to meet some fantastic people when I'm on the road, and just really focusing on trying to make a difference for Missourians, for their lives, and for that next generation. As you well know, John, I mean, what we get to do, what you get to do when you're touching young lives and to see where that future is going to go or where that generation is going to go, I think that's the reward that most of us get right now, and especially in my career. I just want to really do the best job I can to make sure that the next generation has the same opportunities that I've had, that I've been very fortunate to have, I've been very blessed to have, me and my family. And I just want to make sure that that next generation has that same ability to go out and be successful and have successful careers and truly just live the American dream.
Well, Governor, that's so well said. As I think about your career, you know, your service to the U.S. Army, thank you for that, and serving as a sheriff of Polk County, and certainly House and Senate, Lieutenant Governor, being a farmer, et cetera. Obviously, you have been focused on advancing the human condition, and you're right. We do share that in terms of our professions. As you look ahead, obviously, we've been blessed with some great legislators here in Northwest Missouri, Senator Dan Hageman currently, Representative Alan Andrews. Talk about working with the likes of Senator Hageman, Representative Andrews, and others as you think through advancing to January in your first General Assembly legislative session.
Well, I can only say this. When you mentioned those names, I could only think, I couldn't help but grin a little bit on that. If they were all like the two you just named, life would be a lot easier. I could tell you that in the legislative process. But you've always had, in this segment of the state, in this part of the state, you've always had some great representatives and great senators up here that represent you. And I think that's something to be thankful for every day. But I look forward to working with General Assembly this year, to be very open with them and to try to be very transparent and try to figure out what our goals are, that how we're really going to move Missouri forward. And again, I think that's going to come back for me, is trying to make sure that they understand how important infrastructure, workforce development is, and how do we get to the, how do we reach the goal on that. And I guess we're in September. When I say goal, it reminds me of the football side of it. But how do we score? How do we score a touchdown? I just don't want to walk down the field and drive down the field. I want to score. So that's going to be a big deal to me to get some of those things done.
You bet. Get in the red zone and keep it going. Governor Parson, we look forward to continuing our work with you on behalf of Northwest Missouri State University Bearcats. We look forward to your visits up here while you're governor. We thank you for joining All Things Northwest.
John, appreciate you having me on today, and appreciate the work you're doing up there. You got a great community up there with a lot of good people trying to do the right thing for the next generation. So I look forward to making a visit up there and getting to hang around with you up there at the university.
We look forward to that as well. Thank you, Governor. When we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with Northwest's Andy Peterson and Greg Hansen. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCB Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. NCED Business Support Team is at your service, more at nottoway.biz. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 Golf Course and the Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazingo's golf offerings and tee times is available at mazingolake.com.
Welcome back to the August edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. We'll now visit with Andy Peterson and Greg Hansen. Northwest Missouri State University announced AP. Andy Peterson is our athletic director back in July. He has a vast experience here at Northwest Missouri State, certainly starting as a student with multiple degrees and then various coaching roles and various administrative roles. And AP was a star basketball player, but everyone knows student athletes at Northwest, really the student piece is the critical side, and AP was a great student here. He's pursuing his Doctor of Education in Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis from the University of Missouri Columbia. And listeners, you should know his master's degrees, and that's plural, in agricultural and physical education, as well as bachelor's degrees in ag economics and horticulture. Those are all from Northwest Missouri State University. Andy's wife, Emily, is a student success coach for the School of Health, Science, and Wellness here at Northwest, and also the School of Fine Arts. The couple has two children, Ellie and Asher, and they reside in Maryville. Greg Hansen was named Northwest's Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs, Campus Recreation, in early January of this year. His primary responsibilities is really to coordinate our facilities, our programs, services related to campus rec, club sports, the Hughes Fieldhouse and all that goes with all those facilities, as well as our Moira facility and Foster Fitness facility, our Foster Fitness Center here at Northwest. From 1991 to the year 2000, Greg worked in recreation sports at Southeast Missouri State University. He then went on to work at the Community Center as the Community Center Director for the city of North Kansas City. He's been the Superintendent of Recreation for the city of West Des Moines. Greg received a Bachelor's of Science degree in Education, K-12 Physical Education, in 1988, and his Master's in Education from 1991, again, both from Northwest. Greg's married to wife Kelly. They have three children, Maddie, she's a freshman this fall at Northwest, Emily, a junior at Maryville High, and Lily, an eighth grader at the Maryville Middle School. Andy Peterson, Greg Hansen, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you, Dr. J.
Thank you, Dr. J, for having us.
Well, it's a pleasure, and we have so much to talk about, but we're going to focus upon the Carl and Cheryl Hughes Fieldhouse. Please tell our listeners of All Things Northwest, what are the intended uses, and what do you see as the impacts of a facility like this?
I'll start just from our athletic point of view. It's a game changer for our whole athletic department. We talk about an indoor facility that has the specs to be an indoor competition track and field facility. And so for those programs, indoor track and field, outdoor track and field in their training, cross-country kids in their training, it is truly a game changer. When this building started construction, there were six in the nation, 300-meter tracks at colleges and universities. So to be in that...
Division two now. You're
not just Division
two.
Yeah. Yeah. All colleges and universities, there were six of them when this thing started, when we broke ground. So to be in that... esteem of a group, you know, in terms of facilities, it really is something that sets us apart in that sense. But also for our baseball, softball programs, our women's soccer, football, to have a big, large space like that where we're located in the United States, and with our weather, you know, it can snow on Halloween and it can also be snowing on Easter in April. So that's 6 months out of the year where you've got weather extremes that don't let you get outside sometimes. So for those outdoor sports, to be able to get in there and practice and work, hone their skills is monumental. And then the relief, the decompression that allows us to do things with our indoor sports in Lampkin, men's and women's basketball, volleyball. So it will completely change our whole department, what it looks like for every sport.
And obviously tennis has an impact. And people ask me about, well, how often will football be in there? How would you answer that?
I would say football would be in there not as much as everybody else. Honestly, those guys are—they're tough. They like weather. They like that kind of thing. They will typically only be inside when there's lightning, or if there's—they'll use it a lot in the summer. I would say when it's really hot outside and the guys are working out on their own. It's not really coaches' official team practice, and there's, you know, 60 or 70 guys, 80, 90 guys here in the summer, and they're doing 7-on-7 or something like that. And they're just to get out of the heat. They'll use it quite a bit, but once August gets here and they start camp, they'll be in there just a couple times a year, a couple times a season, I would say. When we have inclement weather or it's a day before a game, they really need a good practice and they don't want to be distracted by those type of, you know, weather and that sort of things. So other than that, you know, the other sports are the ones that are going to be in there all the time.
And Greg Hansen, you know, Andy's talking about athletics, but then there's other areas, including the Bearcat Marching Band, but also club sports, rec, community. Maybe talk about the use thereof of the Hughes Fieldhouse.
Yes, Andy mentioned a lot about athletics, but there's three other, you know, primary big goals and resources we look at. One is our students. We look, as you mentioned, Dr. J's intramurals, our sport clubs, and primarily what we've recently opened up with was our academic classes. We're really, really happy and fortunate enough to have three classrooms that can be configured into various sizes to accommodate from 150 students all the way down to 10 to 12. A great atmosphere. The seat is stadium seating, tremendous AV, so we're really excited to have that. We've had great response from our professors that are teaching in those classes. Next, and what's really unique about this building that sets it apart is the relationship with the community. I serve on the tourism board, which is just getting momentum. We've had several meetings, and it's creating a lot of buzz in the community to the partnership with the university and the city to bring in various events that support the region and enhance, you know, everything and the quality of life. We're also looking at partnering with Maryville Parks and Rec. We're looking at a kickball tournament on December 9th, so we're really excited about that. Another thing that is a big game changer is the competitive advantage, you know, recruiting students, recruiting businesses to our community, and just the overall effect that this facility has, you know, on our area.
I often talk to a lot of people about, if you think about a community like Maryville, Nottoway County, the Northwest Missouri region, take this community and place it throughout the United States, you're not going to find any or many community, few communities that will have an amenity such as this, which is not just a want to have, but really a need to have on so many fronts. I mean, you started it, Greg. You talked about academic classrooms, Hughes Fieldhouse. We have a need for more academic classrooms. That's a good thing at Northwest Missouri
yes.
State with, by the way, strong enrollment this fall, record-setting, record-shattering retention, our placement rates of students leading the state, our financials being strong. We're so very proud of all that. And then we've been focusing on infrastructure at Northwest. You know, we've uplifted the iconic building, the administration building. We've put together deferred maintenance plans, and we heard from Governor Parson earlier in the program about that in terms of Colden Hall and Brown Hall, and the list goes on and on and on. And then you introduce a $20+ million facility focused on academic classrooms, club sports, intramural rec, Bearcat marching band, Greek life in terms of what they can do in that facility. And then Andy, of course, all the sports. I mean, you ticked off all the sports. And in fact, giving a tour recently, we saw auxiliary training room. And so, you know, from an athletic training point of view, all of these impacts are quite interesting. Some of our listeners know that here we are in mid-September, and there's excitement for the upcoming ribbon-cutting grand opening of the Hughes Fieldhouse. But, gentlemen, let's give some perspective. What does the Hughes Fieldhouse include that you haven't talked about, you know, from a metric point of view and, you know, all the things that go with it?
I mean, it includes everything we need. I think you kind of mentioned that, Dr. J, and, you know, with the enrollment growth and all and everything that goes with that, we need more space. And it's not just – From my point of view, it's not just athletics. For the last 5 years being the assistant AD for facilities, you know, I communicated with a lot of the Greek life organizations, a lot of the club sports, and just getting space. And we talk all the time about Bearcats Connect and Bearcats Engage, and, you know, kids, students want to do stuff. They want to be involved. They want to have camaraderie with each other. It's not just athletic events. Sometimes it's mixers. Sometimes it's dodgeball. Sometimes it's banquets, whatever. They just need space. And so for so many years, it's been Martindale Gym or Lampkin. And so Greg, you know, working closely with Greg, it's been a great relationship so far with him, and just trying to figure out what other type of events, what other types of spaces can we accommodate in here. So we have amenities, I mean, batting cages and the 300-meter track and four tennis courts and, you know, 100 yards of turf that we can split in half, but also the classrooms, the storage space. There's so much. The lobby itself, we can host little dinners or banquets in the lobby.
Seating for fans.
I mean, it's just so flexible at the same time, I guess. So with the, you know, and next month we'll be hosting the Career Day, which has typically always been in Bearcat Arena, which is wonderful. We want that for our students to, you know, for placement and jobs and or continuing their education, whatever it may be. But it just gets so cramped in Lampkin sometimes, and there's so many other things going on. So to have a space like the Fieldhouse, 132,000 square feet, where we can set that up and it doesn't affect something else. And we, as a matter of fact, I think Greg could speak to, we've got other stuff planned in there at the same time that they won't affect, and the logistics work. So it's just a needed space, a controlled space that we can utilize and really reach out and accommodate all of our students, most of our faculty and staff, and whatever events and opportunities that they want to provide for students, and all this other stuff that can go in there. Sure. It's really exciting.
What's interesting, gentlemen, is in listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KIGCB Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. I'm your host, John Jasinski, talking with Andy Peterson, Greg Hansen from Northwest Missouri State University about the Carl and Cheryl Hughes Fieldhouse. We're so excited about it, but interestingly, we talk about the amenities. We talk about all that's in there and the impacts of the facility. I often mention that, you know, if you think about the campus and where it was born in 1905, 1907, 1910, the administration building serving as the academic hub and really the building and central plant. But as we've grown west, the need for water, electrical distribution, and so on, this allows us to enhance that. As we had to move some tennis courts away from the high-rise area and move them to a terrific and unbelievable interior setting to have just a beautiful tennis facility on the interior campus. All that being said, we broke ground June 15th in 2017. As you think back, Greg Hansen, you weren't even employed at Northwest Missouri State.
No, I was not. I was watching in the distance.
Right. And so you were watching the distance. Andy, you saw it. You were there. Talk about since June of 2017 and your thoughts, your mindset, your perspective, and those that are around you that you've talked to, the buzz around all that.
Well, I think since, you know, starting January 2nd, it's just been a tremendous, tremendous, you know, I'll say it's almost electric in the community on campus of the excitement that's coming at us. The steel was coming out of the ground. I was here. It was very interesting to find out the dynamics, how much thought process and forward thinking had been done to put this facility together, you know, to actively engage our students in a variety of activities, not just, you know, an intramural game, but to get them involved in the scheduling, to have that PBL that we always talk about and we get our
professional-based learning
engaged, you know, with this facility to bring them forward in as they graduate. So coming on board, it was there were a lot of great things already in place. You know, we talk about our schedule. We're opening at 6 in the morning, and that will be, you know, for the public to come in and these academic classes we've talked about. We'll switch gears shortly after lunch, and we'll have all the athletic teams in there. They will be done at a normal athletic schedule to do their things in the evening, and as students become active in the night, that's when around 7 o'clock till, you know, almost the wee morning hours, midnight, 1 o'clock, we can be doing intramural sport clubs, activities. Greek Life was mentioned. We've been visiting with them about doing educational movie night in there and all the other things we can do. So coming on board January 2nd was really putting the pieces that were on the table, had a lot of hard work, and was just turning them in the right direction to put the final big picture of that puzzle together.
And Andy, what's your perspective in terms of looking back to groundbreaking through here it is mid-September?
Sure. I mean, I can go back further, being a part of the campus master plan committee and how that kind of started. And we've been talking about this in athletics for years.
Right.
You know, as certain institutions are able to build indoor facilities for their teams to practice inside, you know, it's been something that we've talked about for a long time. So for me to be a part of that from the beginning and just the planning and what all went into it and what all, you know, from the very beginning and what we could have included and maybe had opportunities to, and just with engaging other groups and saying, okay, what's the biggest multiplicity of effect that we can establish and gain from this? So you mentioned, I think it was June 15th, right? Mm-hmm. Was when we started of last year, 2017. We had football camp that day, and the bulldozer was starting to move dirt within 5 or 10 minutes of camp ending, football team camp ending. I mean, that's how precise we were in terms of the planning and it coming down to, we need to get this thing going soon. So from June to what Greg mentioned in January, when the building really started to go vertical, there was a lot of work that needed to be done. There was a lot of site prep and everything. So just to watch it, I mean, it's been a year. It's been a little over a year, 14, 15 months now. And to see that, you know, we're putting the final touches on it now. There's little pieces of tape in there in different areas where we got to touch up paint and rails and this and that and light switches and that sort of thing, signage on doors. But for the most part, the building's, it's there. It's ready to use and operate. You know, Greg and I are continuing to work together to figure out the best way to program and get things ironed out to best service all of our, all of the stakeholders that have had such a huge part in the planning, the implementation, and now the execution of the whole thing. So it's been a long ride. It's been very fun. The exciting part, I think, is, and Dr. J, you and I have talked about this off offline numerous times, just the excitement that construction brings in general. We've had, you know, the admin building got worked on, Colden Hall's been worked on, Hudson Perrin, Frank, and all this stuff, but those are established buildings. Even Hudson Perrin back in 2007 or 8, whatever that was, those were replacement buildings. We had buildings there, we took right. them down and built new. This is a new building. This is something that is, before that, it was just grass. And so really brand new construction, and the excitement that brings, to Greg's point, the recruiting part of it, not just for students in general, for student athletes. We've had men's and women's basketball coaches that bring recruits through the indoor facility. Those kids aren't going to be in there. They'll be in there for maybe some workouts, or if they have intramural club sport team or something like that. But just the excitement that it brings, that Northwest is growing. We are we're investing in the future, and just that excitement that it brings is it's contagious.
You know, I'm reflective of something that happened back in the last day, the last part of August. We had our opening football game, the home opener, and Carl Hughes happened to be here for the game, and some of his friends, and some of us went over there, and you guys were there, and we walked out of the building, and it was that day, August 30th, that the Hughes Fieldhouse lettering came underneath the paw on that south side. And being reflective and talking to Carl, and I know Cheryl would share this and the family, but you know, Carl reminded me that years ago he and I talked, and he said, you know, there's going to be so many uses of that that we can't even think of the day that we were talking about. And on August 30th, he reminded me, look, I'm hearing about kickball tournaments and MIAA track and field championships and soccer matches and career fairs. And John, that's comments coming to fruition, and he's very correct. And we're so thankful for not just Carl and Shiro, but our founding 50 supporters, our partners that are just, there's so many all-star partners, and don't want to mention one or another because there's so many, and just individuals that have come forward along with Northwest itself, our students, obviously the community. It's been so very special. Greg Hansen, some of the, you've mentioned a couple, but maybe talk about indoor track meets and other events.
So yeah, we'll open up on December 7th and 8th with our Mel Churchman Classic. So we're really excited about that. That gives us a time to get our feet, you know, so as to speak, and get that first track meet in. On January 18th and 19th, we'll have the Northwest Open. So that can be anywhere from 800 to 1,000 different athletes competing in that. February 8th and 9th, we have the Bearcat Invitational. And Andy's worked hard to recruit a bunch of teams, and he can probably give us an update on that. And then the last track meet we're really, really excited about is February 22nd, 23rd, and 24th with the MIAA conference meet. We're also working with the high schools and scheduling, working on how we can work with the Missouri State High School Activities Association of holding an indoor track meet that coincides with their rules and regulations. So lots of stuff coming at us. We're really excited. We want to encourage everybody to come out and take a look at this great facility and these great events that are coming to, you know, our town.
That Northwest Open on January 18th and 19th, Andy, how many teams, at least at this point, do we have?
Right around 12, I believe, and we're trying to keep that one a little bit more intimate. I would say that our new head track and field coach, Brandon Masters, and his team, they are working hard to make that next track meet a large, very large, exciting team. We're recruiting teams from California, Michigan, New York, North Carolina, some more of the prestigious track and field programs in the country, Division II, and getting them here. We've also, we've entertained ideas from the KCAC, which is NAIA conference in Kansas, mainly. They would like to have their conference track meet here, and that's one that's, you know, almost just straight revenue. It's turnkey. We would unlock the building. They would come in, run their track meet for a rental fee, and turn it over a day later. The Jayhawk Conference, the junior college track and field conference there in the state of Kansas, they as well have reached out. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, with only six or eight of these in the nation, there's two or three in our region, and by region I mean the Midwest United States, there could be a lot of demand quickly. And so the better that we can do, at least initially, as we bring these teams in this first year, second year, and they understand that we take track and field seriously around here, and we want to put on a good show and host a good event, that'll take off. I believe that'll firmly take off around it at many different levels of the NCAA and NAIA.
Well, it's just so darn exciting. And as we think about fun facts about the Hughes Fieldhouse, can you share a few fun facts?
Well, one fun fact it is always interesting that the building, if you tipped it up, you know, vertical, it'd be 41 stories tall. So if you're trying to figure out what 41 stories, it'd be the Statue of Liberty. So we could get the Statue of Liberty inside Hughes Fieldhouse.
We always talk about, you know, Lampkin's the biggest space on campus, Lampkin Arena. Lampkin's just over 22,000 square feet. So if we were to look at the Hughes Fieldhouse in 132,000 square feet, we could fit 6 Lampkins in there, easy. So for someone that has tried to schedule that space the last 6 years efficiently and effectively, to know that I have 6 times the capability and just general space, open span space, that is extremely exciting to me.
And we should mention too, you know, obviously Crawford Construction, CHA, so many other subcontractors, so many people involved in getting that building built. Kelly Crawford has shared, Greg, ping pong balls, golf balls, railroad grain.
Oh, yes.
Cars. You have those statistics?
You know, being an Iowa farm boy, I always thought it was interesting that as I wanted to know how many, you know, how much corn could we fit in this big building? So I did some, you know, some figuring out, and it'd approximately be, you know, a train 13 miles long, which, you know, is about up to the Iowa border full of corn. Another one is, you know, what is it, 1,639,176,000 ping pong balls. So that is just a lot. You know, if we need it, if we could and we would allow, we'd almost get 530 cars approximately bumper to bumper in there. So a lot of cars we could park in there too. So,
well, gentlemen, a facility like this doesn't come around, you know, too many times in one's career. If we were to put you on the spot and say, for you, Greg Hansen, kind of overseeing the facility and so many other facilities, rec-related, Andy Peterson overseeing athletics, but representing students, academics, profession-based learning, our community, what's the most exciting thing for you as you think about the Hughes Fieldhouse?
For me, it's the unknown right now. Students, I mean, we've talked about it, Greg and I have talked about it a lot since January. What can't we do in here? There's a certain limit that we'll fight with just our own selves and what we can do and can't do and time and hours and people. But when it comes to students, student athletes, faculty, staff, we're open to suggestions. We want to know, you know, what the kickball tournament is a great example of. Let's get faculty and staff in there and see which department on campus. I'll stand up for athletics and say I think we'll win. But you know, let's see which department can play kickball. Let's get them out. Let's find out.
It's all about recruiting, isn't it?
It's all about recruiting. It's about competition, you know, bring out the best in each other. But that's the thing that we're going to – it's a brand-new building. You know, there's very few – you know, I mean, to our colleagues down south, Pittsburgh State, theirs is just athletics building. It's just an athletics building. They don't – you know, General Rec typically doesn't use it. They've got a couple of agreements with their – you know, the community to get in and use it every now and then. But for us, it's part of the build. We want our students in there. We want our community in there. So programming it, effectively using it, efficiently, it's the unknown. And what, you know, we don't really know. I've never ran one of these buildings before. Greg hasn't been a part of a 300-meter indoor track facility with the netting system where we can have 5 or 6 groups going at the same time, not in each other's way. And so just the unknown of what can't we do yet, I think, is the most exciting thing to me for all groups, for all stakeholders, students, athletes, staff, faculty, the community. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Good.
And I'd like to echo, you know, everything Andy just said. And I think, you know, the big umbrella I look at is the quality of life that it's going to bring to this community. You know, from the kickball, everything we just mentioned, that when people of you know, whatever they want to do, as Andy mentioned, let's try it. Let's see. It's a great amenity to have that can take us to the next step of being, you know, one of the best in the country.
Before I wrap up with talking about the grand opening, I would like to ask about Velocity, our partner that has come in and helped us in terms of wireless and so on. Carol Spradling, Dr. Carol Spradling, in our School of Computer Science and Information Systems, and students with a computer app. I think about Pat Ward, our arborist, Missouri Arboretum. So many others that are connected to this, and facilities and purchasing and information technology, and all these staff members that are unsung heroes, sometimes the offensive linemen or the folks that are behind the scenes that make it all happen. What about all of these other areas that have contributed that really make this a meaningful building?
And one thing that just I'm working with is, a graduate project, the Master's in Applied Computer Sciences, for them to developing an app we can use in Hughes Fieldhouse, which is, I was wondering, Andy, were you guys thinking about, a grad class developing an app when this building was, being designed? Probably, maybe not. But as we talked about professional-based learning and all that, working with, students here on campus to develop an app, a progressive web app that talks about investing in students' learning and the excitement that creates, that we can use that tool of being paperless, creating efficiencies for our staff, campus rec, that we can collaborate with athletics in our community of tying, putting that nice bow of service, to our residents, our students, and the people we serve.
You bet. So many partners, right?
Yeah, and just the foresight and looking into the future, investing in the future. I think of guys like Jack Busey, who handles all of our electronic right. access and key controls, and just his forward thinking and how can this building be the standard for the rest of campus. Alan Mays and his team, and how this is the brand standard for the rest of campus as we start to implement what we want, instead of having such a crisscross match of light poles and benches and all this other stuff around campus, we can really use the Hughes Fieldhouse as the linchpin for the campus master plan and how we want campus to look and have that homogeneous feel with that sort of thing. And in doing that, then allowing one and all to come from whatever walk of life and know that wherever you're at on campus, you're at Northwest, you're at our campus. And you mentioned Pat Warden, the arborist, Shane and his team and facilities and the sod that they put down and the landscape, that how it just kind of fits into campus already. And it's only been, it's only been there a month or two. So. And it goes on. Rick Allen, his facilities team, and you mentioned the infrastructure and getting, Velocity and getting Wi-Fi over there, and IT team with the classrooms and how they're, interactive and electronic. Just the list goes on, and it's really, really impressive.
Well, to wrap up, gentlemen, here it is mid-September. We have family weekend up and coming, and, of course, homecoming. And as we think about opportunities for everyone to see this grand facility, talk about those as we close.
Yes, Friday, October 12th at 4 p.m. will be our dedication and ribbon cutting ceremony. So we'd like for everybody to come out and enjoy that. And then on Saturday, the 13th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., is tours of the field house. We want people to come out, explore, look in the classrooms, get on the turf, see what it's all about. There'll be some music. Kids can get interactive with the athletes and just come out and enjoy the facility.
And for those being here on the family weekend, can they come and see the
facility? Sure, everyone is welcome.
You bet. Well, I tell you what, Andy Peterson, Greg Hansen, thank you for your work and service to Northwest and certainly your teammates, but thank you for talking about a very, very exciting opening of the Carl and Cheryl Hughes Fieldhouse.
Thank you, Dr. J.
Thank you for having us.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Governor Mike Parson, Andy Peterson, and Greg Hansen. Thanks, too, to our producer, Austin Hall, a student here at Northwest Missouri State University, along with KXCB General Manager Rodney Harris. Friends, we here at Northwest focus on student success. You know that. Thanks for assisting us in enhancing our focus on students through your support of All Things Northwest, KXCB, KRNW, and Public Radio. Be a Bearcat, ladies and gentlemen. Learn, connect, care, practice civility, and show pride in Northwest, KXCB, KRNW, and Public Radio. I'm John Chasinski. Take good care and keep celebrating and advancing our region.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from the City of Maryville and Nottoway County Economic Development. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is produced by sports media major Austin Hall. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.